This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
You're going to be part of the Justice Conference happening in Melbourne shortly. Very cool to see you coming to Australia. And one of the topics you're going to be covering is sustainability. It's interesting to see that featured at a Justice Conference. Why do you think it fits into that space?
Well, we know that sustainability has become this hot topic now around the world and people are beginning to talk about it. But people in the world of international development and working on different issues of poverty have been talking about this issue of sustainability for many, many years, because sustainability, you know, is a big topic, it's multifaceted, but one of the core issues is that people who will be most affected by the issues of climate change are the people who've caused it the least, so people living in poverty. So we know from our work around the world, these are the people that have been affected already for many, many, many years, and it's only getting worse, and they don't have the finances to protect themselves against it.
Yeah, is that because obviously we know sustainability relates to the way we use different products and the waste that that creates. Is it because people living in situations of poverty generally end up with a lot of the world's waste being dumped at their doorsteps?
Yeah, I mean, there are many different issues to it, but that's one of them. There is certainly an issue with Western countries who part of their waste management is to ship over their waste to other countries to process. You know, many of those countries end up being developing countries, but also there are many companies that are selling single-use plastic products in these developing countries. Mm. Now, they don't have the infrastructure to deal with the waste that that creates. They don't have the recycling systems in place. They don't have curbside collection in the same way that many of us will probably experience. And so they're just not able to process this in quite the same way because they just can't afford it.
Mm, it's very confronting because it makes people have to talk about the after effects of the decisions that we make in traditionally a Western environment, like, as you say, that impacts those kind of spaces. But then you are also talking to church goers at the Justice Conference as well and encouraging them to play a role in the way that sustainability does impact global communities. What do you think is a helpful response from the church on the issue of sustainability?
Well, one of the reasons I'm excited about the Justice Conference is we walk through the book of Amos. And the book of Amos, you know, it was one of the Old Testament prophets speaking to Israel at a time of stability. There was economic and political stability. And because they got comfortable, they sort of forgotten about the poor. But what Amos does is calling the people of Israel to remember who they are and who God has called them to be, and to face the issues that they have forgotten, to face the issues of pain we find in our world, to learn to lament and come back to their God on these issues. And so when I speak to the church about these types of issues, whether it's sustainability or wider justice things, Amos has something to teach us. You're right, it's confronting because we suddenly realize that our lifestyles, often inadvertently, we didn't realize have impacted people in a really detrimental way. And I guess the call of Amos is to acknowledge that and to come before God and lament, to repent, to seek him on a way forward. And so together as a church, we learn how to respond. Now, the church has an incredible, unique opportunity, I think, and positioned even globally. When we unite as a voice together, we are powerful and we can call for change at a global level. So churches getting involved in petitions, churches learning to look at even their own environmental impact, which might seem small on the global scale, but if all of us are doing that, then the impact will be substantial.
Yeah, it's each person playing their part. And I do want to ask you about how churches can be more sustainable just in their everyday practices. But I do want to ask you as well, because the issue of sustainability, climate change, it is a very hot topic and it's talked about quite a lot at the moment that can make some people just switch off because it ends up in the too hard basket and it stirs debate and that just makes people uncomfortable. How do you make people care about a subject that may be personally confronting or something that they just don't feel an interest in?
Well, I think you're right. Whenever we talk about these issues, the risk is that we feel judged, we feel guilty, we're not sure how to change things. And unfortunately, that does happen a lot. But so for me, as a Christian, and when I started looking at this issue, now I've got to say, my confession is, when I started engaging with this, I really wasn't too interested in the environment. I just thought I was, you know, I became a Christian when I was young and I was passionate about my faith. And I thought all I'm interested in is me and my relationship with God.
Mm.
And I thought issues around the environment had absolutely nothing to do with that. And so I would write it off and not get involved. But what I very quickly learned and realized was, firstly, that justice was a core part of the heart of God.
Mm.
And to seek him and his kingdom was to seek justice. And I also learned that climate change, particularly, and sustainability, undermining the lives of people living in poverty, makes it a justice issue. And suddenly I began to realize this is about me faithfully bearing witness to Christ in a broken world where we do see injustice, where we do see the exploitation of the environment. How do I, as a Christian, bear witness to Christ in all of this brokenness?
Mm.
How do I seek, as a disciple, to live faithfully out my understanding of what it means to follow Jesus? And so I see this as an invitation into greater faithfulness, an invitation into greater witness, an invitation deeper into the heart of God, because
mm.
this is the earth that he created. And he created us to be interdependent on one another, to take care of one another. And this is about how I love my global neighbor.
Mm.
And this is how I honor God in the way that I use resources.
Mm.
And so my hope is that invitation for all of us as Christians shouldn't be something that is polarizing, but is something of an opportunity, that is something that is exciting, that also does require us to be honest. And for me, I've got to say, I realized that this was something that was deeply important to my faith. I mean, I did have to repent. I mean, I had to realize, oh my goodness, but no one had told me before.
Mm.
And so how would you know? And
right.
So I think we have to be kind to each other, kind to ourselves, and we encourage each other. So when we are making steps in the right direction, we celebrate it. We're not pointing out the bits we got wrong, but we're celebrating the bits we get right.
Mm, and it's going to be a journey for everybody in a different way, in the way that you asked yourself questions and started to go, oh, what do I believe about this and what does the Bible say? People will be at different stages of that process at various times. But on the question of how churches can daily sort of put sustainable practices into their locations and also just in the way that they facilitate weekly services, how do you think they can do that?
Well, I think there's lots of different ways. So, and part of this is about journeying as a community to learn how to do that. Some of the biggest ways that you can make an impact on your own global footprint is thinking about your energy supply. Does your energy supply come from a renewable source? And so you can ask yourself as an individual, but what about as a church? Where's your energy supply coming from? Thinking about how you eat. So our food carries big carbon footprints often. And so looking a little bit more closely, how local is the food that I'm eating? Just learning a little bit about where foods come from and where you can source more sustainable options is a really important way. and looking at how you travel. And so that might be flights, but there's other forms of travel as well, reducing intensive ways of traveling. And so you can do that at an individual level, but also begin to do that at a community church level as well. So when you're doing gatherings together and maybe sharing food, what are your food options in that space?
Mm.
I think another really important area is that you start the conversations. Now, it's really interesting here in different parts of the UK. We've been talking to different church leaders and doing research and asking them about how they discuss this topic in their churches. And some church leaders have been, really brave and really honest with us and said, well, I mean, we want to, but we're just not sure how to start this conversation because we don't have all the answers ourselves and we don't know all the science behind climate change ourselves. And so what if we get asked these questions? How do we answer? Part of it is we need to be brave and step out and start a conversation and not worry that we don't know all the answers. But part of it is about the faithfulness of stepping in the right direction.
Mm.
That's part of what we're seeking to do with the Justice Conference is equip people, put resources and tools in people's hands so they can begin to talk about this. If you're really not confident as a church in talking about this, invite speakers. You know, there are those who do know. Bring others in to start the conversation for you, and then you can pick it up from there. So there are many different ways, but I think as individuals we can do this, where you're sending no rubbish at all to landfill, and it is possible. It is a part of my discipleship, and it takes time.
Yeah,
but it's much easier for me when I'm doing that in community.
You got to have a whole lot more time and attention to give to these things, and even if people are on the side where they feel like the science and all of those sorts of climate change, sustainability, these terms are complicated and overwhelming, even just bringing it back to the simplicity of looking after our space and our environment well, just as a way to honour the environment that God's given us, I feel like that's something that people can embrace no matter what their perspectives are on all of the different science behind it. And I do understand that you work with TIER as well, of course. What's TIER's approach to the subject of this issue?
Well, as I said, we've been working on this for many, many years. And so we're working with communities that are most affected by climate change, people living in poverty, and doing all kinds of work around adaptation, so adapting really to an environment that is constantly changing. Now, that might be helping them change the different crops and agricultural practices they use to adapt to that. That's learning different ways and methods to look after their own context. But what we're saying to the church, particularly in the West, and we're doing this across the world, not just the West, but across the world, we're saying we can, in an organized way, gather our voices together. So we're running something called the Rubbish Campaign. Yep, it really is a rubbish campaign. And we're inviting people to join us to use our voices to speak to the four of the biggest polluters that are sending that kind of rubbish to countries where they don't have the resources to deal with the waste. And we're saying you need to clean up your act and you need to be responsible for the plastic that you are producing. And so the campaign that we've got going on goes to Coca-Cola, PepsiCo, Unilever, and Nestle. They're the four biggest companies. And we're saying we want to hold you accountable for what you are doing.
Hmm.
Now, you can find that campaign on tier.org.au/rubbish. And you can find lots of information there. And so our approach really is this twofold. So we are mobilizing people to use their voice, gathering petitions literally globally around this. And we've had thousands upon thousands and thousands sign it already around the world. But we are also working with those communities who are most affected, preparing them, helping them get ready for issues of food insecurity, disaster risk reduction, and those kind of areas as well.
It sounds like a very focused effort, Jo. Thank you so much for having a chat with us, and we look forward to seeing you at the Justice Conference.
Thank you. I can't wait to be with you all.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.